podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another edition of County Cricket Natters. It'll be the last one for a while, actually, because there's a bit of a hiatus in the County Championship, but we're going to make it a very good one. No, Annie, again this week, she will be back with us later in the season, and we cannot wait. But we have got a stellar lineup as ever. Dan Whiting, who's been on the M5, M4, wherever it is again, been at Cheltenham Festival for the last couple of weeks, Dan.
Yeah, I've been swanning around the Cotswolds. I've been, you know, at my country abode, Sam, but very nice it is too. I've just done 8 days out of the last 10 in Cheltenham, and what a lovely venue, but I'm bloody knackered.
Oh, I bet you are. It's beautiful festival cricket, and what a finish you had yesterday. And, you know, from one adopted West Country man to another, a player, a northerner, but who's made the South West his home for a long, long time. Steve Kirby, welcome.
Thanks, Sam. Hey, I really appreciate the intro. It's brilliant to be back on here as well, chatting to you guys about county cricket and everything that's been going on. But yeah, no, I'm really, really pleased to be listening to, you know, it always makes me laugh, does Dan, and yourself. You're unbelievably knowledgeable about the game, and I learn a hell of a lot every time I'm on.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say so, Steve. Dan's got his hand up. Hang on, he's going to make us laugh here, right on cue, Kerbs.
Well, do you know what's great? The last time the three of us were in a room, we were in the tavern at Lord's after Somerset beat Middlesex in the T20 at the end of June. And two out of three of us had been working, whereas one of us had been on the lash in Camden Town since about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Sam Dowling had been doing a bit of stint for BBC London. Steve Kirby had been hard at it with his troops at Somerset. And I was a dribbling mess. So it's good to see us all sober at the same time.
What do you mean dribbling mess? You're always absolutely a dribbling mess, Dan.
Yeah, let's move on to Division One. Right, let's go to Chelmsford first of all, where Steve Kirby cultivated a few freckles. Essex started 505 for 9. Nick Brown, 234. He's been a little bit out of touch this season, but he bounced back with aplomb. Paul Walter, he's in the runs every week, 86. Tom Lamonby there, 3 for 35. In response, Somerset, 605 for 5. Matt Renshaw, 146. Tom Abel was destined for 100, but he retired hurt with a hamstring injury on 90. James Rue, 101. Tom Banton, 126. There were runs all over the place. Essex then, 30 for 1 before the game ran out of time. Kerbs, James Rue, he's a ginger lad like yourself. He's a good player, though, eh?
Oh, he's a fantastic cricketer. I mean, he's bound to be a good lad because he's a redhead, isn't he? But but on a serious note, keep your eye out for this young kid. One of the most special things about him is his temperament. His ability to, I mean, if you look at his record since he's come in, this is his third game. And he got 70-odd in the first game on debut. And then yes, I know the pitch was placid, relatively docile, not what Essex wanted as a surface. There won't be many times Harmer bowls 58 overs, two for whatever he played it for, you know, two wickets out of 58 overs. But I think on massive credit goes to the way that we played him. As a team, we had some real plans against him. Each individual would like to go about it in different ways. And if you go back to Ruin, the way that he did it, he sweeps, he reverse sweeps, he used his feet, he was resolute in defence, and showed real great character. You know, because there were some good bowlers at the other end. They were attacking with three seamers and then Armour at the other. Matt Critchley is a very good leg spinner as well. You know, and for him to come in and show the maturity that he did at 18 years old is a testament to him, and a testament actually to the Somerset pathway and development structure again. You know, they just seem to be, keep churning them out. Great job there. Steve Snell was involved in a lot of his development before he moved off to Gloucestershire, but obviously now it's Matt Drakeley and Andy Griffiths. So well done to them. And actually, the way that Rui then came in and played, like I said, it's his temperament, and he doesn't feel that. I think one of the big things that Somerset do very well, Dan, I think they integrate a lot of their younger players, the ones of high talent, in early. So it's not like a shock to the system when they walk into the first team. Well, like me walking into a Yorkshire dressing room or an old Leicester dressing room where you'd never been around them, and then all of a sudden you're making your debut. It's not been like that for Rui. And he's been made to feel very welcome. And we all know how much of a wonderful player he is. And then to see how Bantz played as well, he came in and really took it to them. We're talking about two innings of contrast massively. But I think the big thing, before we go on about Bantz in a minute, Matt Renshaw took the sting out of Essex, and the way that Tom Abell played an unbelievable Stirling captain's knock, really. Because we were under a little bit of pressure. And you know what Harmer's like? Fielders around the bat, creating theatre. It was spinning, And I think the way that we went about our business was a real testament. It's not easy, You've just gone for 505 in the first innings. You spent 2 days in the field. And then to watch the way Matt Renshaw and Abe went about their business was amazing. It really, really was. And there won't be many times you put a bowling unit like Craig Overton, Lewis Gregory, Peter Siddle, et cetera, Jack Leach, and some really strong bowlers on show, and they found it tough on that surface. So, yeah, really, really pleasing to see. We're in a dogfight at the bottom of the pile. We've got to fight hard, and we're trying to fight hard, and we're showing immense character, which I'm hugely proud of, and as are everybody else in the coaching group.
Congrats to Peter Siddle, 700 first-class wickets. Day one, was it day two? It was hard going. I was, from a personal point of view, I've been invested in that. I interviewed Sids in April, and I've been waiting for him to get to 700 because that was the piece that was coming out, and I was waiting all day for that 700th wicket. He always gets Sir Alistair Cook. It seems to be the man he gets. But 700 is some going from Peter Siddle. Bantz to come in like that on the final day and play the way he does. There's been a lot of talk about him. There is a lot of talk about him in Somerset at the moment because his contract is up. Nothing set in stone, but what I will say is he came on the live stream last week and he was absolutely brilliant. I thought his rawness and his honesty in terms of the way he answered questions was fantastic. He talked about his struggles. He talked about missing out or electing to miss out on things like the Big Bash because of the mental strain that being in the hotel room for 2 weeks had taken or would take on him. He'd had that experience in the PSL. You can see how much he wants to do well. You can see how much he loves playing for Somerset. He said, look, I'd love to be in the team, but I really don't mind. As long as Somerset win, I'm not worried too much if I'm in the team. He just wants to be part of that environment. And I know Somerset fans very much hope that he remains a Somerset player. And, people who have seen the live stream might, you can go back and look at the live stream to see what he said. He was worth listening to, as was Matt Renshaw. Brilliant. He's come into Somerset and loves being around. I think he's really good. Curbs will probably know more than me, but I think Tom Abell, there's been a couple of times, there was the Warwickshire Championship game where they got Sam Hain caught at kind of a leg slip and everyone ran away and celebrating it with Matt Renshaw. I think he has quite a good input on the tactical side of things. He's kind of slightly different plans.
He does. And he's fantastic. He's got a really good cricket brain on him, but wow, he doesn't half let you know about it if one of his plans comes off. In particular, when he gets wickets, I mean, he's a really canny off-spin bowler, right? But he hardly practices, okay? So we have a bowling group where obviously we put a lot of our tactics on. We have a bit of banter on it. Everyone's on there. So I've said, look, lads, he deserves to be on the bowling group. He's taking wickets. He's done partnership breaking. And to be named nameless, a few of the bowlers went, if he comes into our bowling group, I am leaving. The general consensus is he's not coming in the bowling group. But he deserves all the accolades he gets because He is a very, very canny cricketer. Got a great brain on his shoulders. And like I said, he's taken about 12 or 14, I think 14 first-class wickets. So he then went in to see Leachie in the dressing room, and he went, Leachie, let's check our top 11, our best 11, who've you got out and who've I got out, and then let's see who's the best. So honestly, he's brilliant banter around the dressing room. Sometimes a bit much for a few people, but I can tell you now, we all love him to bits.
I wouldn't want to be his roommate. I tell you what, he's the kind of that would wake you up at 2 a.m. and go, I've just thought this thing, I've got a plan for this batter tomorrow. Let's talk about it now.
Every time he sees me right now, and it's fine, I'm all right with it. But every time he sees me, he comes over and slobbers my ear with his, like, kisses it and licks my ears. I'm like, Reno, please, man, no more. It's like, and I get it every morning. It's like, no more, mate, no more. It's like, but anyway, yeah, he's lovely.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's leave this Somerset loving alone. And let's go up to Scarbados, where Steve Kirby, it was a scene where Steve Kirby won the county championship for Yorkshire back in 2001. But this time, Yorkshire were 33-6 before 50s from Will Frayne and Dominic Bess got them up to 159. 6-36 there for Kyle Abbott. Hampshire then responded, 218. There were 50s there for Ben Brown, Keith Barker. 5-60 from Jordan Thompson. Yorkshire were then all out for 272, 59 from Adam Lyon, 63 from Johnny Tattersall. 4 more for Kyle Abbott. What a week he's had after that hat-trick at Cheltenham last week. Then Hampshire was set a tricky 214, but 70s for Felix Organ and Ian Holland, and they won by 7 wickets. Kerbs, Scarborough, you love it, don't you? You're a Scarborough man.
Are some huge memories up there, Dan. Unbelievable crowd, unbelievable team, Yorkshire to, you know, great history up at Scarborough. And the thing with Scarborough, which is so exciting about being up there, is the actual supporters. You feel so connected to every single one of them. You see them all week. You know, they're always pleased to see you. They are very knowledgeable about the game. And like I said, we've got great memories anyway, because obviously winning the championship up there, I think we went on a huge pub crawl for about 3 or 4 days, which I've got...
Days?
It was 3 or 4 days. I'm not joking. I remember Darren Lehman, after we won the championship, we had technically won it inside, I think it was the 3 days against Glamorgan. So we had the Saturday off, and then we were meant to be playing Sunday League on the Sunday. But obviously we've had quite a few drinks and celebrated. And Darren Lehman went in the one-day game against Notts, and he went in 3, and he picked up his helmet, right? And he went to put his helmet on, and there was still champagne in the helmet. So, like, champagne's just rolled down his head. And he's like, honestly, it must have absolutely honked. And he went out. He said, lads, don't leave your chairs. He said, you know, there's going to be fireworks here. And he went and got 118, 100 balls, right? Honestly, yeah. Absolutely smacked it everywhere. I don't know how he was still... You're probably still drunk, honestly. But some great memories. But going back to the game and what they've had to put up there with Hampshire, you know, Hampshire are a real force to be reckoned with this year. And they have been for quite a few years. And for the reasons of, they're able to literally put a new team out there for championship as it is for white ball cricket. And I think that's the way that the game's going to start going now, because the actual schedule is brutal. You know, we've pretty much put a whole championship side out as well as a white ball side out, and then coming back to championship with hardly any recovery or break. Whereas they're putting 2 complete fresh bowling units out there. They have a white ball team, and then they have a red ball attack in Abbott, Abbas, Barker, etc. And I think there's about 3 or 4 players that play in both teams, both the white ball and the red ball teams, and it makes a huge difference. I mean, you've got the quality that they've got as well. You know, the A, they're fresh. B, they're up. Don't they just give you nothing? And they have got such a variety in their attack. And then that they put all that together with, arguably, in my opinion, the best bowling coach in the country, in Pot Welch, because he leaves no stone unturned and is a brilliant man manager. You know, you've got a real powerful, powerful side in Hampshire, and Yorkshire are now and have been, and looks like quite a lot of other sides are decimated with injuries to their bowlers. So that's why, you know, you've got such a differences, if you like, in performances from both of the teams.
Yeah. And Sam, Yorkshire are in the relegation mix as well. We'll come onto the table later, but they're in big trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They've done all right. I mean, Paul Edwards was there at Scarborough, and I think his piece on day one, it's always worthless reading what Paul Edwards says, but he's just saying, like, they're just in a really, so on the pitch, it's real backs against the wall, and they're losing players. They've got players who are having to step up. People like Dom Best suddenly becomes one of the really senior players in that side. So they are in a dogfight. They're losing Tom Coder-Cadmore at the end of the season. He's coming to Somerset, but he continues to play and he will put everything out there for them as well. He got 100 down at Somerset last week. Adam Live, they've got the top of the order. He loves playing at Scarborough. Made 100 in that Surrey game a couple of weeks ago. 59 in this one. But yeah, it is. It's going to be tough for them. Good to see Ben Code back. He's been, he was one of their key bowlers for a good couple of years. Still a relatively young man, has had injuries. I think he tried to come back 8 or 9 weeks ago and there was just a slight recurrence. He played twos last week. So they'll be buoyed by his return because he's actually quite a senior bowler for them in Red Bull cricket.
Let's move on to the Oval, where Warwickshire got 253. Unfortunately, there were no 50s in there, but everyone contributed. Surrey responded with 316, Ollie Pope 65. Warwickshire then batted again, 310. Sam Hain 96, or as Bumble called him on last week's show, Jonathan Trott. And then Will Rhodes with 74. Kemar Roach got 5 for 72. Surrey then strolled to their target. They got 252, won by 6 wickets. 61 from Rory Burns, 80 from Hashim Amla, 52 from Pope. Surrey look like they just keep winning. Hampshire keep winning. It's going to be a battle royale for the county championship, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, it really is. Although you just wonder, I mean, Hampshire have been so strong, as you say, they keep winning, but Surrey keep doing it. It doesn't feel like there's any stopping them. I don't know. I mean, it felt like that in T20, to be fair, and they did come unstuck. But in Red Bull cricket, they're just such a good side. You look at that lineup, the depth they've got all the way through. Brilliant to see Kemar Roach come back. He's one of those overseas pros that really loves actually coming over and playing for Surrey, heart and soul into it. And he's a fantastic bowler. I just can't see anyone catching them. Dan, you know, Hashim Amla's been relatively quiet by his standards this season, but when he needs to, he can turn it on. 80 there. I did see that Jamie Overton, unfortunately, looked like he picked up an injury, only bowled 0.5 overs in that second innings. So I just pray, fingers crossed, that it's not too serious, because he's had plenty of injury problems in the past. But when he's fit and firing, as he's shown for England, he's one of the best in this country. So hopefully he can come back. I mean, we talked about Tom Abel's hamstring injury a little bit earlier in the show, and I guess from the county cricket's purist perspective, there is 6 weeks off. Hopefully these guys can recover and be fit for the resumption.
Kerbs, who do you fancy, Surrey or Hampshire?
Well, honestly, as you were just alluding to earlier on, Dan, it's a battle royale between both of them. I can't call it. I think at the moment points on the board are as strong as anything. They don't have to actually play each other again, which is interesting. But I don't know, looking at both of their scheduled games runnings, who's got the better running than the other. The key is going to be keeping them all fit and strong, especially as a bowling unit. And as Sam's just alluded to there with Jamie Overton, that could be a big loss depending, you know, with all fingers crossed, it's not too serious. But he goes for a scan, I believe, today. So like I said, we pray on that one. In regards to Hampshire, they just, like I said, they just seem to be able to put out a completely new team out for championship, and they seem to be fresher and stronger. So points on the board with Surrey, always strong. Strength in depth in squad, you would like to think Hampshire. No idea at the moment which way it's going to fall. I'd like to say Surrey, but I think it could be Hampshire.
Sam, you got a point to make on this?
It's a question, actually, for Kerbs, if that's all right. How difficult is the next 6 weeks or the return to Championship cricket to manage? Because, you know, it's the schedule's been full on and it's been about keeping players, basically patching them up and getting them back out there because it's been relentless for the players. And if now you've got 6 weeks off, the maximum, if they're playing Royal London Cup, it'll be 10 overs, but actually a lot of them are playing 100, so it's far fewer balls. So you're almost having to go into a bit of, when it starts again in September, is it almost like a mini pre-season to get them back into that volume?
No, not at all, because most of the bowlers that we've got, I mean, obviously you take Marshant Ilanga, Craig Overton. Craig Overton will be needing to keep his loadings up quite a lot because we don't know where he's going to be from a test, you know, test cricket perspective. The onus is very much on them as individuals, but we're keeping our eye on if they're away with the 100 to make sure that they are fully ready to go when they come back. The biggest challenge we've got is for Brooksy, you know, bringing JD and Josh Davey back fit. And obviously with Peter Siddle. So they're three big, massive bowlers for us. And if they're now playing in that, what is quite a brutal 6 weeks in the 50-over tournament, playing eight games, about 20 days. So, yeah, it's going to be quite a challenge on multiple different levels to keep all our bowlers fit and ready to go, because it is a very strong run-in from September onwards.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go up to Manchester. Let's go up to Old Trafford, where Lancashire were 97 for two and collapsed to 145 all out. Matt Henry doing the damage, 5 for 45. Navdeep Sami, 3 for 63. Kent then responded. They got a lead, 270, thanks to their skipper. Jack Leaning got 90. 6 wickets there for Tom Bailey. What a bowler. We discussed him last week with Bumble, and he got 6 wickets. Lancashire then responded, 436. Josh Bohannon, 134. Luke Wells got 90-odd as well. Apparently, Luke Wells is the most sledged cricketer on the circuit. I don't know why. I don't know what Luke Wells has done to anyone. Apparently, he's the most sledged cricketer on the county circuit. 4 there for Matt Henry. Kent then subsided to 127 all out, despite 69 not out from Daniel Bell Drummond. Tom Bailey again doing the damage, giving him 11 in the match. Got 5 for 46. Lancashire, they're on the heels, but I think they've got too much to do, don't you, Sam?
Yeah, I think it's exactly as you put it, Dan. They're just too far behind. Well, it's not necessarily being too far behind. It's are the two teams ahead of them going to drop enough points to allow them a gap to catch up? And I just don't think that is going to happen. But they're really strong. You know, Josh Bohannon is scoring back-to-back hundreds for him. I think he's probably arguably the next. You've got Harry Brook, who's the next in. Josh Bohannon's got to be close up there with someone like Abel as well. They signed well. You know, Will Williams, he was playing club cricket down in Bridgewater, has come in. Looks really good. Good county cricket pro for them. Washington Sundar's come across. And as you say, Luke Wells, I've got a soft spot for Luke Wells, and he's gone up to Lancashire. Big change for him a couple of years ago because Sussex is kind of ingrained in his family as well as him. But they made the move up there and he's just fallen in love with it. Paul Edwards, actually, I was talking to, says it's almost, it's cute how much Luke Wells loves playing for Lancashire.
Kerbs, as a man who wasn't shy of having a word or two himself when he played, any reason why Luke Wells is one of the most sledged county cricketers on the circuit?
Because he's very good.
Right. Okay.
You know, and he has a really awkward technique at times to bowl at. And he's a very good cricketer. I love the way he's reinvented himself from Sussex, come up to Lancs. You know, he scored a very, very, very good knock against us. Again, on quite a docile, placid surface up there at Southport. But, you know, very good cricketer. And, you know, he actually sledges you back. So, you know, normally batters, if you give them a load of stick and you start chatting to them about their technique or doing something or just trying to, he then hammers you back. So that's probably one of the main reasons why he gets sledging, because he doesn't shut up.
And you start to say your front arm's not getting there and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's very witty. He's a very witty lad. You know, really top kid, actually, top bloke. Good player. Love to see him doing well again. You know, he's fit, he's strong, and he's, you know, with him and Jennings up front, a quite formidable out opening partnership, you know.
Yeah, Bahanan behind that as well.
Yeah, very good. Villas, etc. You know, and they've got some good young players up there at Lancs. You know, this young Jack Morley, you keep your eye on him. He's going to be a really nice spinner. And, you know, I've got, he gets a really good shape on the ball, spins it, and bowls it at a good pace. It's not like it's got a flat trajectory on it. It goes up and it goes down, beats people in the air. He's going to be an handy bowler. They can't even get Hartley in the team. And he's also a very handy left-hand spinner. He sort of plays more white ball than red currently. And then you were just chatting about Bailey. Just doesn't miss. Highly skilled bowler. I think Williams has been a brilliant signing for them. He was at Bridgewater in Somerset. You know, on an English passport as well, I believe. So he's going to be, I think he's on a 2 or 3 year contract up there at Lancs. That's a really good coup for them. He'll fit into their attack of their, you know, the balance of their attack really, really well. Yeah, so they're a handy team. But going back to what Sam said, I just think they've got just too much to do, really, to beat the likes of Surrey and Hampshire. They just seem to be too strong.
Yeah. Well, from Old Trafford, let's go last but not least to the beautiful spires of Cheltenham College. Gloucestershire 317. James Bracey, Chris Dent, Ryan Higgins all got 50s there to contribute. Northants responded with 61. With 479. 61 from Will Young, 95 from Ryan Rickleton. I'm going to come on to him in a minute. 78 from Luke Proctor, 71 from James Sales. There was 5 for Zafar Gahar. Gloucestershire then set up. They were up against it, but they got 363 for 9 thanks to a brilliant 127 from the skipper, Graham Van Buren. 5 for Tom Taylor there. And they set Northamptonshire 202 in 37 overs, which they got 8 down with 3 overs to spare thanks to Ryan Rickleton with a blistering 68. It was 10 for in the game from Zafra. It was a wonderful, wonderful advert for county cricket. But Ryan Rickleton, I think, will be a star of the future. Well, he's 26 years old. He averages over 50 in first-class cricket in South Africa. But I was really impressed. I think I've seen some good batsmen this season. I've seen a 200 from Jamie Smith at Surrey. I've seen an excellent 140 from Tom Abel at Bristol, but Ryan Rickleton is the best batsman I've seen this season. His bat speed is unbelievable. Kerbs, do you know much about him?
No, I don't know anything about him, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
You know, just listening to what you said there, sounds a very exciting player to come up under pressure there and chase down that type of target on the last day wicket. You know, and I get, obviously, Cheltenham can be quite a high scoring, free scoring ground at times, especially when the weather's good. But still, to actually cope with that level of expectation and pressure and then come up trumped, that's certainly one I'll be keeping my eye out on. And obviously, you know a good cricketer when you see one, Dan, and if you're telling me he's a good player, then I'm listening. I know nothing about him.
And Sam, Northamptonshire, punching well above their weight. They're now up to 5th in the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brilliant story, isn't it? I can't hide from the fact that most of us, myself included, thought they'd be down at the bottom there, particularly, you know, then they lose Adam Rossington on the eve of the season. You think, oh, there's a big part of their experience. But I mean, to talk about Rickleton again, they brought in, well, Will Young, Ryan Rickleton. I think Young was probably more of a guaranteed bet, played a little bit over here. Rickleton has just come in. I mean, it's be interesting to see how he goes in the test series, because he's in that South Africa test squad. Yeah. Played a couple of games against Bangladesh in March, and he's averaging 70-odd for Northampton, Division 1 in the county championship. He's used to these conditions. I think he's had 8 knocks, got 200s and 450s. So a bit of a gamble potentially there at Northampton in terms of who they brought in, but it's paid off for them.
Yeah, it certainly has. Kerbs, you played at Cheltenham College on numerous occasions. What a venue.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, it is a venue. It's an amazing, amazing sort of 10 days up there. And again, you know, when you're looking at the festivals as they are, we were chatting a lot about the Scarbados, weren't we, Scarborough? I think when you come along to festivals that have got such history and tradition, I think it's 150 years it's been going.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
which is, you know, I was up there for a Gloucester Gypsies dinner the other week, and they do it so well. A gentleman called Chris Coley, who has been involved in the Cheltenham Festival for as long as I've known. You know, I think it's a brilliant thing for Gloucester cricket. I think it's a brilliant thing for county cricket. You know, I mean, the pitch used to be a lot faster. It used to be a lot bouncier. You know, the days of Courtney Walsh and what have you coming in, and people didn't want to go and play there because of how bouncy and quick the pitch was. And now you look at the surface, it's not that way at all.
No.
But I think the way that they do it, the festival itself is managed and ran brilliantly. I know it's a tough thing to do for the players because you're there, you know, it's a lot of cricket in a short space of time. And in essence, it's another away game for a lot of the players because they have to travel up there. They have to stay over quite a lot. So I know it's a challenge for the players up there because I've been involved in that. But it's also a really rewarding week. Brilliant, brilliant spectators who, again, are really knowledgeable. And I loved every minute of it.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's proper cricket people, and there's all marquees there with, as you say, the Gloucestershire Gypsies, the Gloucestershire Exiles, the Old Patesians, all got their own little marquees going on, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's proper place for cricket badgers, and it's a good cricket wicket. I think there's a little bit in it for bat and ball. Spin comes into it, and what you see there every day is 300 for 10 most days. And that's good cricket. Anyway, let's move on. Spare a thought for us commentators up there as well at Cheltenham. It's bloody hard work. Let's move on finally to the table. So Surrey are top, 209. Hampshire, 193. It's going to be between those two, I think. Lancashire, third, 175. Then a massive gap down to Essex on 135. North Hants, the story of the season, 130 and fifth. Yorkshire 116, Kent 114, Warwickshire 104, Somerset 99, and Gloucestershire prop up the table on a rather meagre 62 points. Right, let's go to Trent Bridge, Division 2, Nottinghamshire v Sussex. Nottinghamshire 240, Scouse Steve Mullaney, he got 70. Ollie Robinson 4 for 44 on his return. Sussex 143, Cheteshwar Pujara 49. There was 5 for Patterson, 5 for Pattinson. Patterson White didn't bowl. Notts 301. Haseeb Hameed, 94 of those. There was 5 more there for Ollie Robinson before Sussex capitulated for 142. Steve Kirby, the Nottinghamshire roller coaster just rolls on and on, and they're destined for a quick return to Division One, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they are, and they're a quality side, you know. Test ground, a lot of resources up there, good side, you know, well managed, well coached, you know, and when you've got they were really, really dangerous last year. When we were playing them last year in regards to the sort of the Bob Willis Trophy where, you know, we could see, I mean, they actually out-bowled us completely, and I mean that from the Somerset perspective. You know, normally Somerset are the ones that sort of out-bowl the opposition. And, you know, they have shown now over the last few years that they should be in the top flight. And quite rightly too, yeah, absolutely, Dan. They're a powerful, powerful unit.
Yeah, they really look like a decent side. And Sussex are struggling a little bit. They're in a sort of a transitional period, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, like all these things, I think when you bring in a lot of young players, it's important that you dovetail that nicely with a lot of experience. I think Pujara and, you know, they've had Rizwan up there. They've had, you know, I think it's important that a lot of these young players don't get scarred too much by, you know, being in a losing team because there is some real talent up there at Sussex, down there, I should say. And, you know, my good friend, Finnerton Prentice, has moved his way down back to Sussex, and I wish him all the best. Obviously, we all do. We coming back from a stress fracture in his spine. A really, really good cricketer, and I hope he shows back to Sussex exactly what we were seeing at Derby, and what a fantastic cricketer he is. I think I think when you've got people like Ollie Robinson in your bowling attack, you're always going to be handy. A really quality performer. I just hope that he can show that same level of fitness, that same level of drive and motivation to be playing international cricket, because England cricket needs a fit, strong, firing Ollie Robinson, really. But in regards to Sussex, yeah, definitely, without doubt, they're a good side. I just hope that, like I said, they're able to turn it around pretty soon.
Yeah. Let's move on to Durham, where it looks like a flat pitch, and Durham fans not happy about the pitches there this season. They got 421 for 7. It was a little bit rain affected. Michael Jones, 206. There was 4 for 67 from Toby Rowland Jones. Middlesex, 455. John Simpson again in the runs, 132. Durham then got 142 for 3. The game ran out of time. But David Beddingham was got a nasty sort of retired hurt. Sam, John Simpson, we speak about him almost every week at the moment. He's a mate of yours, Curbs, as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's on fire.
Yeah, well, there's a reason we speak about him every week, Dan, isn't there? And as you say, he just keeps scoring runs. Brilliant cricketer, lovely human being. And yeah, I mean, slightly placid pitch by the sounds of it out there, but you still got to go out and score your runs. And he's on Chris Rushworth's home ground as well. What did he pass? 600 first class wickets. So yeah, you think someone like Simpson's chance of playing test cricket has probably gone. It was brilliant to see him play for England last year, and he just carried it on. I mean, he smashes it in white ball cricket. He'll go off and play the 100 and probably do really well. Just a super cricketer, and Middlesex will be keen to keep hold of him as well. You know, there'll be other sides sniffing around someone like John Simpson. You make the point quite often, don't you, that he's one of the better, if not the best, keeper. It's kind of underrated, his keeping, isn't it, in that he gets so many wickets for the likes of Murta and Bamba. Just stood up, he just comes and stands up to the stumps very early, and the number of LBWs that buys people like Murta and Bamba is unbelievable. But yeah, quality player.
Yeah, Curbs and Chris Rushworth playing in that. I mean, you probably played against him back in the day, didn't you?
I did. I certainly did. And I tell you what, he's had me quite a few times, obviously, me being the unbelievable batter that I am, you know, averaging, I think it's 7 or 8 in first-class cricket. I'm quite a scalp for him. But no, I mean, in regards to Rushy, brilliant performer for Durham. I remember playing in one of his first games, actually, out in Abu Dhabi for the, you know, what was the champions, county champions game. And we played on one of the most docile, flattest surfaces you're likely to play on out there. And he showed exactly then, as a young lad, you know, what a quality performer he was. Dale Benkenstein always said to me, he said, you've got to keep your eye on this lad. And then to watch how he's grown through his career, you know, he's, you know, to his own admission at times at the start of his career, he probably was carrying a bit of weight and not quite as fit as he wanted to be. But gosh, wow, did he just turn his life around, his career, his fitness. Wow. I mean, and then to keep taking the wickets that he does, the stuff he does with the ball, he's a magician, honestly. He swings the new ball away, and then he's got a wobble seam that nips back at will. And the amount of people he sets up brilliantly. A wonderful performance, quicker than you think as well. But yeah, now looking at them pitches up there, it just proves, doesn't it? Even on flat decks, he's still getting wickets. But you say these pitches are flat. Yeah, they are. They've been a little bit dry up there. They've been, you know, the weather's sort of not helped that. But all over the country, I think it's more the ball, you know. I think there's a real appetite for batters to score runs, but I also think that the ball itself is, you know, they just don't seem to be holding A, their shine, or B, their hardness. That obviously, with the appetite for batters to score big runs, I think and the better weather conditions that we've had, that's boding well for us bowlers, who seems to be a bowler graveyard out there everywhere.
Yeah, there speaks Steve Kirby, the Berry Bradman, the Lancashire Lara. Anyway, let's move on to Worcester. Derbyshire, 130 all out. Anuj Dahl, 55. Dylan Pennington, he's quick, he got 4. Worcestershire then responded with 185 52 for Kashif Ali. There were 5 wickets between them for Dahl and Aitchison. They're an opticians, aren't they? Derbyshire, 343. Wayne Madsen, 69. Anuj Dahl, 112, before bowling Worcestershire out for 190. Anuj Dahl again with 5. So he got a 55, he got 112, he got 5-6 wickets in the game. Sam, you've interviewed him. Good cricketer.
Yeah, good cricketer. Good. I'm sure Curbs will talk at length about Anuj, just a great human being. Really, Curbs was saying a little bit a few minutes ago about Finn Hudson-Prentice. They were great mates, Anuj and Finn at Sussex, and it was a huge loss at Derbyshire, sorry, huge loss for them to lose someone like Finn, his runs and wickets. And Anuj has just stepped up this year. I mean, it's brilliant to see him performing and winning games. He's been given that slot, batting a little bit higher up the order, runs, wickets. You won't see anyone quicker between the wickets, I don't think, either running. He's absolutely rapid. So yeah, I mean, Curbs will talk about it, I'm sure. Amazing things happening up at Derbyshire. Every time I see them get a win, it brings a little smile to my face.
Yeah, Steve, how good's Mickey Arthur? You're involved in coaching. Mickey Arthur is one of the best in the world, isn't he?
Well, he's certainly showing that. He's shown that in all the way through his coaching career. I think I've not experienced him as a coach. I experienced him when he was coach up at Sri Lanka when I was head coach at the MCC. And I saw how organised he was and how much of a tight ship he runs it internationally. Then for him to come into Derbyshire, you know, he always talks about being the architect and the custodian of the environment and the culture. And that's what he's done up there. He's created a culture up there where, you know, people feel wanted, valued. You know, he's always going to be really professional. Ajmal's doing a great job up there as well. You know, and as Sam's just alluded to, it puts a massive smile on my face to see them doing well. Obviously, I haven't coached them for a few years, just to watch. I mean, Lias De Plooy is a brilliant captain and a brilliant bloke. You know, to watch the way that Brooke Guest has been coming through and scoring. I think he's had 400 or 500 this year. To see Madsen, you know, Mads doing well again is lovely. But, you know, as you've just mentioned there, I love Anuj because I know how hard he works at his game. You know, he's, you know, at times he has some technical issues going on with his batting, but wow, he certainly seems to have tidied those up. And as you've said, unbelievable runner between the wickets, like rapid, like a brilliant fielder as well. I mean, you know, that's a big part of his game. When he comes in, he just runs teams ragged. I don't want to be the batter at the other end. you might bust a few hamstrings batting a little bit with Anuj. So, no, it's honestly, it's really, really pleased me to see them doing as well as they have. And well done, Mickey. Well done, Ajmal, for, you know, for pulling this team around. I think also Sam Sood did a good job for them as well, didn't he? At the start of the year.
Someone like Sam Connors, Curbs, he's got nearly 40 wickets this season as well. Did you do much work with him?
I did, actually. And I love Sam. Really underrated, quicker than you think bowler. Bowls at mid 80 mile an hour. And, you know, his action to a certain point at times would fall away a hell of a lot. Had some back issues and he was with the under-19s, England. And so worked really, really hard with him to try and get him in a position where his action was strong, tall and repeatable. And he's a very skillful bowler. He can swing the ball both ways at a very, very handy pace. I think he's got some work to do in his economy rate. His economy rate's still going at that 4.5 and over. But, you know, he's an attacking bowler that will come in as an enforcer and try and take wickets. So really lovely to see. I think Ajmal's also doing a really good job with him up there. And, you know, yeah, it was nice to do some work with him and with Ben Aitchison and all the other bowlers, actually. But they are starting to put together a really strong bowling unit. Really lovely to see George Scrimshaw doing well as well in white ball cricket, as well as now red ball cricket. You know, what a wonderful story that is, Sam. I mean, you know, he was released at Worcestershire due to an unbelievable back injury and back operations. They gave him about 20% chance of ever bowling again. So, you know, for us to get him to Derby, for the work that we did to get him fit and get him strong. And then his desire and his hunger to come back. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. It really, really is. So just them putting together a really strong bowling unit now is really, really nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. One final point. Sorry, I know Dan's itching to move on, but, you know, we talk about 18 counties and the need to have it. Someone like Scrimshaw, brilliant story, went 1,000 days without playing a first team game. If we haven't got 18 counties, then does someone like him get another chance once he's been released by Worcestershire? Probably not. And that would be a real shame to lose someone of his talent who's already playing England Lions, having only been back fit a year or two. So it is brilliant to see. And it's why we need all 18 counties.
Yeah.
Really strong point that, Sam. Yeah, I mean, that's worth a discussion point at any one stage, Dan. And I know you're keen to move on. So, but yeah, no, really, really good point, mate.
Yeah. There speaks Specsaver Sam Dalling, having discussed Darlan Aitchison. Right, the table. Nottinghamshire, 195. They're top of the table. Middlesex, 165. Glamorgan, 160. Derbyshire, 155. It's getting tight in there for that second place. Probably tighter than David Milan at the bar. Worcestershire then come 130, Durham 125, Sussex 105, and then Leicestershire at 72. And that wraps up Division 2.
Well, that's all we've got time for, folks, for another edition of County Cricket Natters. A short hiatus for us now as the County Championship, I was going to say enjoys, but has a fallow period for 5 or 6 weeks. We will be back on the other side, though. Plenty to play for. Well, all to play for, really, and we are very excited about that. Do keep your eyes on the Royal London Cup, though, going on over the next month or so. Some brilliant overseas stars coming over to play in that one, and also an opportunity for some of the youngsters who might not otherwise get a game to push their first team case. I loved that competition last season, and I think I'm going to love it again. Thanks very much to Dan Whiting.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much again for joining us, Steve Kirby.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much, Sam.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you, as ever, to everyone for listening. Annie will be back shortly as well. Thanks very much for all your comments. Please do continue sharing. Get in touch with us. We love hearing from you. As I said, we'll be back in 6 weeks or so. And in the meantime, stay safe.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Podcast Network.